Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert, and today I'm joined, of course, by my faithful and low-carb co-host, Dr. Jason Barkley. Jason, how are you doing?
Low-carb. Speaking of low-carb, I was trying to order lunch today because I had a half day at work, and I went on my Postmates app, and I'm not going to say the restaurant because I don't want to cast aspersions, but three different outlets of this restaurant all canceled my order.
It's so a conspiracy, all I ended up having, Jason. That's all there is to
all
it.
All I had was, it is.
It's a conspiracy.
It's the third time this has happened.
Why do you think that's the case?
I don't think they like the order. I put in, it's a chicken caprese sandwich on multigrain bread with no mozzarella. I don't think they like the fact that I put no mozzarella on it. I had was a smoothie.
Maybe Postmates is monitoring your eating habits, and it's not looking good, maybe.
I don't know. It's totally personal. I want to get a new account and start over and put, like, my name's Steve or something.
Well, and as you can tell, he's already chimed in. We are welcoming back Emerson Eaton to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. Emerson, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me once again, guys. I think this is my third time on. It gets better and better each time I'm on, so thanks for having me.
Well, we're excited to have you on because we are fired up to hear all about how the Long Beach Shredders are doing. And you're the owner of the team, the boss. What is your exact position with the Shredders?
I might as well drive the Zamboni as well, guys. I do it all. I'm behind the bench. I'm the head coach, for instance. A lot like last year, I learned a lot of gained experience there in Missoula, probably on our last episode when I was coaching in the NA3HL. Now I was head coach GM there with the Missoula Junior Bruins. And that team got sold to Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm like, nope. You know, I keep going the further east. I keep going east. It gets colder and colder. I'm like, no, not this time. You're not going to get me. We just said screw it, and I know the USBHL had a division out here, so the teams are the San Diego Sabres, Fresno Monsters, Las Vegas T-Birds, the Tahoe's a new team, the Ontario Reign is another team, so we're one of six teams.
Nice.
So they broke off from what was called at the time the Western States Hockey League. I think they kind of branched off into more Canada. But the Long Beach Bombers played out of the Rinks Lakewood Ice here. I think their last year was 2017-18, if I'm not mistaken. So I knew that this was a perfect place. Already had a locker room kind of built in already from the Bombers. We were able to rebrand, change the lighting. Repaint the walls, new stalls. I think everything was kind of set in place pretty good. I knew it was a great facility as far as just me growing up here playing at Lakewood Ice. And I knew just with my time with the Ducks and the whole Rinks program that it would have been a match made in heaven. It certainly has been so far.
Well, that is great news. And what is the league in terms of it's a junior level league? Is it where do you fit in terms of the sort of the coming through the system on the way to the NHL?
Yeah, so the landscape for juniors, tier one would be the USHL, tier two would be the NAHL, and actually the USBHL has 13 teams in what's called the NCDC, which is a non-pay-to-play system, both that and the NAHL. NAHL is governed by USA Hockey. And then we're tier three. So along with the same team I was in last year, Missoula, now that was a different governing body. That was USA Hockey. We're not under affiliated with USA Hockey. It's just our own governing body through the league. We're tier three. USPHL Premier is the level. It's one of roughly 60 teams nationwide from the West Coast all the way to the East. Wow. There's teams in Indiana, Ohio, you name it. Seems like besides Hawaii and maybe Alaska, there's probably a team in every state. So it's pretty big.
How old are the kids, the age range of the kids that are in the league with you?
So 16 to 20-year-olds. And kind of the goal, the mindset of a lot of these higher-end players at the Tier 3 landscape would be to get a D3 scholarship. So usually the 19 and 20-year-olds, if they're entering their last year, they're really pushing to get D3 scholarships, whereas Tier 2 would be, you know, pushing for D1. But still quite a bit fall in that D3 category. And, of course, Tier 1 USHL. Pretty much all of them are going to go D1. Also in that Tier 1, you could classify the Western Hockey League, which I played in my draft year and 2 years post-draft year. And then obviously you got the OHL and the Quebec Major Junior. That's all, you know, pretty much Tier 1. I'd say Junior A, BCHL, AJHL, SJ, MJ, kind of all. Each province has its own Junior A league. That would probably be considered between Tier 1 and Tier 2. Cale McCarr came out of the Brooks Bandits of the AJHL. Joe Colburn, I think he was with the Kodiak up there in the AJHL. So you still get a Kyle Turris came out of the BCHL. So you get quite a bit of high-end NHL players coming out of Junior A there in Canada as well.
Wow.
Can you guys hear me okay? There's probably an adult league game going on in the background here. Am I fine?
Yeah, you sound fine. Okay. And we hear the puck a little bit, but it's not bad. Okay. I think
speaking
that's
of,
important.
How's your both your guys' games?
Oh, dude, sick. Unbelievable. Yeah. No. I haven't been on the ice at all.
Just can't find the time right now?
No, but I think next year's things are going to change a little bit for me. We'll talk about that offline, but I'll have a little more time to do some of the stuff I like doing.
Awesome.
I need to get skates, and if I maybe had a friend that, you know, played in the NHL that would teach me how to skate backwards, I'd do better. I don't know.
We've been talking about this for years. God, you know what? Honestly, on a Monday practice, how many? So we have practice from 9:45 to 11. Are you? I'm assuming you're usually at work at that time.
Big time. But
there's times when I'm off. I mean, I take every couple months. I take a little staycation where I just don't do anything for a week.
Yeah.
I did that a couple weeks ago. Had I known, I would definitely have come down on that Monday.
Okay, well, there's either that. I do weeknight kind of one-on-one skill sessions. So, I mean, let's figure out a time where on either the weekend, Saturday, Sunday morning, even Saturday, Sunday afternoon, where you guys can both come down and we'll hit the ice.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. We need that. That needs to be front and center on the YouTube channel. We'll get the big unit out there skating backwards. That's going to be awesome.
Oh yeah.
That's exciting. It's very cool. And it's right up the street from me and down the road from Jason. So
it
was close to getting there last weekend. I'll tell you, man, four kids and college applications going on right now. One of the kids was going to Paris to pick up her stuff since she had to leave her boarding school due to the pandemic. It was just nuts. And I was like, I am not going to be able to get there. It was too crazy. But you guys are, it looks like you're doing well and you've got some great players.
Yeah. You know what? Our biggest thing, so our record, what are we? We are, this is by me, I have nothing in front of me. We're 8-10. That's 18. And I think we have two shootout losses, two OT losses. So technically, we're 8-14. That's how I put it to my team. We're 8-14. I don't care if we get a snag a point OT. I think two of those we fell from behind after being in front, and then the other two we caught up and weren't able to close. And that's been our biggest problem as a team. I don't see any which team that we've played against that it's like, oh my God, you know, these guys are too good. For us, it's really about putting together not just a 20-minute hockey game, not a 40, not even a 60 at times, but a 60-plus-minute hockey game. And one thing we've been really struggling with is that lacking that killer mentality. Being able to close out games, being up one goal with 5 minutes to go, and so some of it you can teach, some of it you can't. I've been, you know, challenging my guys to really, you know, watch the game, watch, you know, what kind of impact are you guys having if we're not making plays and we're not putting the puck in the net? You know, are we moving our feet? and disrupting? Are we finishing our checks, blocking shots, right? So that's something that I've been harping on my guys, and we've gotten better. So this is this last stretch. I think we're 4-4 and 2 in our last 10. Besides that, we've been below 500. So the stretch has been better. It's not perfect, but I think our best hockey is yet to come. So,
And that's the thing. It's like there is a lot that you can teach, and there's a lot that has to be instinctual, this type of thing. I mean, we see it, I have my own ideas about certain styles of play and where the players come from. And you can see it where once they do make it to, the AHL and the NHL, you know whether they're going to have that compete level that's going to set them on course to do something big, or if they're just going to be a background player. And I'm sure that's a struggle a bit for you, and because you want to take those B plus players and turn them into A's, but that's not exactly easy to do, is it?
Oh, for sure. And I mean, to your point, you look at the Mitch Marners of the world, you look at the Austin Matthews of the world. When those guys don't have the puck, they're hounding it. They're trying to get on the inside. They're lifting sticks. That's why I love watching those guys. And, what really separates tier three from tier two to tier one and so on and so forth is I think the players, the higher end players at the tier three level, if they're a skill guy, they're taking that and running with it. Where the mentality is, no, it's like Datsyuk, always one of the leaders in takeaways each and every season. That's a big piece that they're missing, is playing without the puck. We spent a lot of time, how can we do a better job making an impact on the game when we don't have the puck? So that's one of the many things that separates a tier three from a tier two and so on and so forth. Just out of curiosity, Jay, when you look at Jason, what are his strengths as a player? What do you think just by looking at him, does he struggle with? Go.
Well, Jason definitely has the size
advantage. Manos de Piedros.
That's right. Jason's got the size advantage. When he was looking down at Ryan Getzlaff, I was like, well, that's a pretty significant height difference. And it made Getzy uncomfortable, I got to say.
You think so?
Now, does that make Jason easy to knock over? Would you say with his size that he's a little bit more?
No, it has to do with my back. That's the problem. I have a horrible back. I think it would be not a big deal to. No, I mean, listen, I haven't been on skates in years. I think maybe since college. I'll tell you the exact last time we were on skates. There was a date party for our fraternity where we were going ice skating. And I had my Bauer skates. I had them sharpened. I didn't have a date, and my buddy didn't have a date. Yeah, I didn't have a date. But I went anyway.
That's classic.
And my buddy and I basically spent the entire time at center ice trying to have a hockey fight. I was trying to get his jersey over his head. He was pulling a jersey over my head. We're giving each other like rib shots. And that was it. I mean, we were basically 15 years old acting like idiots, but it was fun.
That sounds like a good date.
Sounds like my team. My guys are, three or four guys are scrapping. So we're supposed to get off the ice at 11 o'clock, and here it's 11:03, and all, a full-on brawl between, 10 players breaks out. I'm like, guys, stop pretending. Do it in a game.
Right. Save it for the other guys.
Are you allowed to fight in your league or no?
So your first fight of the season, it's a one-game suspension no matter – what time of the game it's that fight breaks out in. Each fight after that, it's three games. So fighting is allowed. They're trying to limit it. Right now, there's a shortage in referees just throughout, I think, the U.S., really. And I think it's because of that. I mean, these slashes are getting so out of control. Abusive officials, refs, they obviously, probably – Most of the time have a second job. The last thing they want to do is go sell car insurance, but they have a busted back like Jason trying to break up a fight, right? So,
no good.
Oh yeah, sorry.
I would have been a lot harder to bring down when I was 245. I was a lot harder to bring down at that point, but that's about 15 years ago. So
remember, anytime I think of a back problem in hockey, it's Eric Dossier. I remember him really struggling with his back there with the Chicago Blackhawks back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
It's not fun. I mean, you couple that with, it's just, being taller makes you more susceptible to back problems. And so, even that's why Zetterberg had to retire. I mean, it's taken a lot of guys out. DeKaiser had back surgery. I'm surprised he's still playing. But a lot of guys really have that's a real sore spot.
Yeah, back in the day. I remember Mario Lemieux went out with he had to have a discectomy, and he got a staph infection in his back, and that pretty much clipped the whole season for him right after they won the cup in 93.
Yeah.
What's a discectomy?
A discectomy.
So,
go ahead.
It's basically where in between your vertebrae you have your little disc. It's like almost like a jelly donut. Yeah. And what can happen is the jelly can herniate or squirt out of the disc and compress the nerve. And what they do is they make a small little incision about an inch and a half or so, inch and a half, use a little scope through the microscope and go down there, make a little bone window, open up a little bit of the bone in the back part of the spine called the lamina. And sorry, my cat's here. And they're able to kind of with little different tools, clean out and scoop out the herniated disc material. It's like kind of like crab meat is the consistency. And then they clean it out and they leave the disc and that's it. You can re-herniate. And if it happens enough times, they have to take the disc out and put a little device in there to fuse the level or a disc replacement. About 16% of people go on to re-herniate those. And it's a bad situation.
So with your back issues, are you injecting yourself or do you have someone else do it?
No. If I have a flare up, I'm on the table. I have one of my friends do it under x-ray fluoroscope. And, right now, just knock on wood, my last injection over the summer took and I'm doing pretty good, but it's just one of those things where if I just stand up weird one way, boom, it just comes right back sometimes. And I have a pretty high pain threshold. It will bring you to your knees when you have nerve pain like that from either irritation or compression of the nerve. It's awful. Just awful.
And so my wife, Danette, had two home births. They injected her with something. I don't know if it was just water or whatever, but it was to relieve the pressure. It's a similar dynamic when you get a injection in the back when you're in labor. Is that the same dynamic?
So yeah, but that's basically the epidural. Epidural just refers to the epidural space. It's what's called a potential space between the dura, the covering of the spinal, so the sac where the nerves are, and the surrounding tissue. And that's where the nerves basically reside. And so what they do in the epidural, when your wife was pregnant, my wife was pregnant, and Jay's wife was pregnant, is they go into that space and they leave a catheter in, which gives a steady flow of medication to numb the nerves and to calm down pain essentially from the waist down. When I do the injection, it is still an epidural, but I use cortisone and I'm doing it for a different reason.
Okay. So, but actually, Danette did it. So it was a home birth, all natural. There's no epidural, but they did shoot her with just a little cap. It was almost like a prick.
Hmm.
And I don't know if it was a water. I don't know if it was
I don't know.
You did home birth?
Oh yeah, I was right there. It was gnarly. It was something. it was fantastic.
Well,
I didn't want it.
Yeah, you're a brave guy.
Yeah. I'll never forget our first child was born the night when the lockout ended. It was the very first game back and the Wings were playing and she's in labor. And
Wings are playing. My wife's in labor. Wings are playing.
I got the game on my phone. I'm like, honey, just do your breathing. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Do you see that play? And she's like, put the goddamn phone down. But
I'm going to castrate you when this is over, Jason.
Yeah, it was. I know.
So were the Wings good at the 04 lockout? Because they won it.
No, this was in 2013.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. 2013. So they were not very good. They were coming down.
Well, we played. Well, they beat us. That was the year they beat us then in the first round. So they beat us.
Where were you?
I was in Anaheim there. So that was the lockout year.
Yes. And
so they did beat us in seven. I think they got spanked by Chicago the next round.
Yes, because I was at game seven in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Because everyone kept saying Anaheim can't win a game seven, blah, 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 blah. And I was there at the game with my dad. And at the end, fans were throwing bottles on the ice. And even some of the ushers were throwing stuff on the ice. I go, this is ridiculous. What kind of place is this?
Oh, that's so interesting. I don't remember that. That's crazy.
Yeah. You guys were already off the ice already, I think.
What have you guys, and Jay, I'm assuming you've been to a Ducks game this year. What's the attendance? What's the overall atmosphere? Have you been?
So this year I got to upgrade my seats to we're right on the glass, you know, because the on the glass seats have not come up as season tickets in years, but the pandemic caused some people to give up their seats. So I got two seats on the glass right by the duck shoot twice side right by the face off dot. It's amazing. It's great.
Oh, okay. I mean, so I got to ask you a question. I got to ask you an honest question. I don't think I've actually asked any of the players we've ever talked to about this, but don't you find it annoying as hell when you got these clowns banging on the glass and screaming and pounding on it when
what
you're
are
in
you
the
saying,
corner,
Jason?
I just think they look stupid doing it. I don't see a reason why they want to do that. They look dumb. That's my take.
Yeah, you know what? I think if I'm in their shoes, I'm never the one to, you know, bang and I'm more of the relaxed kind of take it all in type
Me
of fan.
But yes.
I am a Raider fan, and you know, the black hole, or what was the black hole? I don't even know if they moved to Vegas. If that, you know, if they switched the Allegiant Stadium, if that's now the black hole, I'm not quite sure there. But you know, you got these macho dudes with spikes, and certainly isn't you know, to that degree. But I don't know. I if I'm in the corner, I'm in a puck battle. I'm just focused on not turning around and sending a pizza up the middle kind of thing, to be honest. I mean, that's really not. Yeah, I kind of tuned all that out, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You guys, I don't know how you do it, because guys yelling derogatory comments, you know, you suck, this and that, you know, that whatever, they're holding up signs and doing. How do you block that out? I mean, I just can't imagine, like, I'm doing an injection. I got some clown over in the corner of the OR yelling, dude, you suck at this injection. What are you doing? You suck. You know, I can't imagine being able to focus on that.
That would be awesome.
You just got to put your pride aside and think yourself and say, this guy's putting money in my pocket. So
that's right.
Yeah. That's a good point. I like that.
Yeah, you're in the stands. I'm on the ice. Thanks for paying my bills.
Like, Jake, can you imagine someone being there saying, you call that liposuction? Come on.
you know, it's funny. There's that would probably bring a new level to the practice of surgery. If there was you know, a peanut gallery and fans and they're selling popcorn and.
Hey, you know, ESPN Plus. Coming soon.
We did a skit in one of our holiday shows about that, where we're going to open up the ORs and call it Thoracic Park. You know, people can walk around and look at people, you know, watching doing chest surgery, because chest surgery is awesome. Yeah. Well, to answer your question though, Emerson, the attendance in Honda Center is about 50%. And I think it has to do with the fact that you must be vaccinated to get in, and Orange County is not a big vaccination spot.
What's the percentage of people in Orange County who are vaccinated?
Yeah, I bet it's probably on the order of, you know, 30 to 50%.
I was gonna say maybe 40 is my guess.
Yeah, it's low. Whereas in LA it's a lot higher. Just because in LA you can't do anything unless you're vaccinated.
It's 74% here, I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't probably go as far as saying it's at 50% capacity. Sorry, crypto. When is that coming in? Crypto.com. When are we going to start saying crypto? Is that next year?
Yeah, it's coming up. I mean, that lease is up for Staples.
$700 million just to change the name.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll continue to say Staples until it's set in stone there. So Staples, I don't think it's quite at 50%. I don't think it's that low, but I know it's hit them hard as well. And just, you got to think how much money these teams are losing.
Well, Seattle the other night had 18,252 people to watch the Kraken play, and they beat Washington, and T-Mobile is full. There's a few arenas that are really full, and yeah. I think it has to do more with the restrictions on getting in than it does with, you know, because I think Honda Center would be full. The last game, you know, when the Ducks did this 8-game winning streak, you know, and Troy Terry had a 16-game scoring streak, you could see every time the attendance was getting better and better.
Wow. Good.
Yeah. Hey, Emerson, let me ask you a question. What's going on when you're with the team and you're on the ice? How's the knee feeling when you're out there with the team and doing drills and running practices?
It's so different than, you know, having a 220-pound D-man cross-checking you as you're trying to fight for a loose back in the net front, right?
Right. I mean,
it's a totally different dynamic. So walking upstairs, being anything on the ice, even if I'm demonstrating a skill drill or whatever, it really doesn't bother me. But I'm not going 100, you know, I'm not stopping on a dime. I'm not going full speed. I'm not going into corners 100 miles an hour. I don't have guys – laying on me. So it's a completely different dynamic. I will say this. It was with our team. We had a team function just with the Shredders here. We went to a park just down the road, and we ended up all of a sudden, and I was not prepared for this. We played 3-on-3 basketball. It was myself and two of my players versus three other Shredder players. And I was just going end to end. I was, you know, as if I was, you know, 15 again. But I felt, and I can immediately feel when the swelling goes up. I can feel that pinching, and it's not a good feeling. It takes several days to simmer down. One thing that's a huge blessing is CBD. Mixing CBD with coconut oil. I rub that on my knee in the morning and at night. That really takes down the inflammation. That's been a unbelievable thing to have.
That's good.
Coconut oil actually is a very good anti-inflammatory. That's it's a lesser known anti-inflammatory.
Oh wow, I didn't even know that. I just thought it was a good mix with the CBD oil there. It's done wonders.
Yeah, good. I mean that those knees, man, you got to take care of them because they, how many of these guys you see wind up getting knee replacements, getting hip replacements? I mean, it's pretty rampant through the NHL.
Speaking of knees, it's good to see Robbie Fabbri get back to his game.
Yes,
he actually just scored the game winner or the open net goal when the Wings just beat the Blues 4-2 tonight.
Oh, perfect.
So he had he had two goals. Maybe he had two goals tonight, one goal for sure. But he's playing really well.
Yeah. Assistant captain, playing against his former team. That's big right there. So, you always like to hear a comeback story, especially with a guy. It was for sure one, if not two. Did he blow out his knee twice?
I think he did. I think so. Yeah. It's he's been a wonderful, wonderful asset to the team. And when you hear the players kind of in reading all the articles I read about them and everything else, everyone really talks really highly about him as far as being a good character guy too. So I think that was something that was kind of lacking for a little bit with some of the players that have moved on now, that you have some guys that really want to be here and be in Detroit and the team's playing well. I mean, right now they're in, for what it's worth and Thanksgiving, they're in playoff, contention. They're playing well. They're winning some games they normally wouldn't be winning. And it's good to see that. I mean, it's making it fun again. Robbie's, he's definitely doing well. And it's funny that I had dinner last night. My cousin is in town because he's the team doctor for the Maple Leafs and the medical director. And they're playing the Kings tonight. I was able to have dinner with him last night. And, the Leafs are playing well.
Yeah,
and it's good to see me. And
case game dropping again, hey Jay.
Oh yeah, that's the way he does it.
No, I'm not going to mention his name. I just it was nice seeing him, but I just missed seeing Jason Spezza by about literally 15 seconds when I pulled up at the hotel to meet my cousin. I would have been cool to have seen to have met him, but he said that the guys in the team are really just good guys. There's not a bad person on the team right now. And so I think that for the Maple Leafs, one of the factors may be the fact that they're like bonding as a team off the ice. And then, as you know, that's what it takes. I think it's not just what you do on the ice. It's what you do off the ice.
Have you caught a game at Little Caesars since?
I have. I was there before the pandemic. I was in there. So now we're almost 3 years ago.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
It's fantastic what they've done. Now, I haven't really been able to kind of, I don't feel like it's home yet to me.
Yeah.
But what they've done with it, how they took the actual official letters from the old Olympia Arena, wow, where, you know, that was where, you know, Gordie Howe and Ted Lindsay and Sid Abel and those guys played. And they took the lettering from the building and put it on a special brick wall there as it was back years ago. I saw games there when I was a kid before Joe Louis opened up.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of things that are different homages to some of the great special players there. They really, really did a great job. They just need to have a better team to get more fans in the seats.
Yeah.
You know, but it's really a fantastic venue. I've only been there once, so I haven't really been able to kind of, you know, we got a tour of the place, which is really cool. Really awesome to see what they've done with it, but I haven't really been able to kind of be there enough times to make it feel like it's home. I still miss the Joe.
Oh, the Joe. And you know, we were in playoffs there at the Joe. I played a number of regular season games at the Joe with my time with the Ducks there. But even furthermore, just, you know, besides the on ice aspect, the game itself, you know, I don't know why I was in the upper concourse. Usually we just, you know, go through the back doors and come out the back doors when we're done. So I can't remember why I was in the concourse with any reason. I can't even remember if it was during a pregame or before or after a pregame skate or before or after a game. But God, the concourse was so run down, but it just made it so cool because no other place like that. You know, I mean, it's almost like they did nothing to it since the, you know, the early 70s, you know?
So. It opened in 79. The first team they played against, I think, was the Blues. They lost the game. And, yes, it was a dump. I'm not going to lie to you. It was a dump, but I saw Springsteen there back in 81. I saw him again there in 84. I saw him there again in 88. I saw, you know, other concerts there. The place was just a dump. There's no question. But it was it was our dump. Like, it had such character. And it was such a, you know, there aren't many, because there weren't any suites there. Every seat, you were on the ice, basically. You were so close to the action. That was the thing on the first level. So, you know, now with the suites and everything else, it's just not the same. But, you know.
These new arenas are kicking some serious butt financially, that's for sure. I mean, T-Mobile's insane. I'm sure the Kraken are loving their new place. And then, you know, UBS just opened for the Islanders. So that's it for Barclay Center for them.
Yeah, but can't we get back to the days where arenas and stadiums were not named after companies? And like Fenway Park, for example, Tiger Stadium, you know, Wrigley Field. I mean, come on. That's
no, because it's too much money. I mean, who doesn't want $700 million for them to stick their name on it? Yeah, I'll take it.
Million.
Exactly. I mean, come on, dude. If somebody came to me and said, like, okay, well, listen, Jason and Jay, we want to give you $700 million to call it the UBS Dr. Hockey Podcast. Would you take it?
I would change my name personally to UBS.
There you go.
I'd be fine with that for $700 million.
I mean, seriously.
I would do a lot of different things for $700 million. I'm not going to even mention right now. There's a lot of things I would do.
But my point is that it's painless. And that's why you're never going to – it's not going to be the Ronald Reagan Arena or the Barack Obama, you know, stadium. Those days are gone. You know, giving credit to people that have, you know, served our country or that's over. It's all about cold hard cash now. If you want to have the Jason Berkeley Incorporated Long Beach Shredders, I think Emerson will take a check. What do you say, Emerson?
You see our jersey just plastered with.
I got mine on right now.
I had that kind of money, I would. I don't.
But there it is, and we're on the back, Jason. I'm showing. Let me show you your jersey. I got it right here. I'm doing the podcast right on top of it. Hang on.
Are you using it as a cushion?
No, I've got the FedEx box as my table. I'm just sitting here in the.
Check it out. That's great. I love it.
Hold on. Then on the back, hang on. Let me show you this.
Oh, that's awesome.
There it is.
Yeah, very cool.
Not too shabby.
Great.
So, yeah, this one's yours.
All right.
Thank you for these, Emerson. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
No, thank you guys for the support. It's gone a long way. And we try to, you know, make sure that we get our sponsors out there as much as possible, whether it's, you know, posting pictures through a great photographer on our posts, you know, wearing it around town at community events, you name it. We're trying to get that jersey looked at across Long Beach. So it's been fantastic.
I'll be wearing mine at the Ducks Ottawa game on Friday at 1 o'clock. It's going right. And by the way, my brother picked this up too, because of where our seats are. You see us on like literally every face off and every goal.
Can't wait. That's perfect. Appreciate it.
So yeah, I'll have the Shredders jersey front and center. And not to mention the last game I went to, you can look, I don't know if Shahab posted it. There are some people in our seats. My wife and I were coming in. These Vancouver fans thought they were in the right section, but they were actually a section over. And so while Chris is sitting there chit-chatting with them, I'm leaning up against the glass, you know, because there are people in the seats right next to us. And Getze threw some dude from the Canucks into the boards, and I took a minor hit while I was waiting on my seats.
Oh, shit.
So I was like, hey, Chris, can you get out of here? I'm getting killed over here. I'm not even in this game, and I'm taking a hit. It was hilarious.
Jay, you got 2 seconds of ice time there.
I did. and so I like downloaded the game, and I sent it over to Shahab. I mean, it was like it was so funny. It's like very clear because I'm in my Cornell hoodie with my white Dr. Hockey lid and just took a beating. It was awful.
So who do you guys have at this mark? So you look at the standings in the NHL. Who, if you could pick one team, you know, whether it's both Eastern and Western conferences, you know, who is it? You look at the standings, that's that team that's going to go all the way this year. Jay, who do you got?
I honestly think that if, you know, I say it every year because I got to be right 1 year, you know, like a clock's right twice a day. I think the Colorado Avalanche are due for a cup. I think Nathan MacKinnon is too good of a player, and I think that they have a good coaching staff, and if they can stay healthy, then they're all in.
Has their goaltending been good?
An issue? No, neither is their defense, but they score so many goals that I just think that they're sort of a 90s Mario Lemieux Penguin style kind of team, and I could see at some point it's got a root, but. There are teams that are better.
Is it who's that guy that was in Phoenix or Arizona there? You know who their goaltender is?
I am not sure who their starting keeper is right this minute. I have to catch up.
Is it Kemper?
It might be Kemper. It might be. I'll check that out because they're playing the Ducks tonight. But you know the game's on. I'll watch it on tape just to see what's happening.
Jason, how about you? Who's your team right now?
You know, I it's so early to tell still, and I think as we were talking the other day, you know, we had the play-by-play guy from Florida was on. You know, we know that Florida can't keep this pace up. You know, of the teams are playing really – yeah, Mahler. But some of the teams are playing really well right now. I got to think at some point you throw a dart enough times at a dartboard, you're going to hit the bullseye that it's got to be Toronto at some point. I mean, they just keep coming every year after year, have a good season, and they seem like they are at least, you know, playing well, and they're bonding, and then they just – I think it's a mental thing. They fall apart in the playoffs. But I got to think that one of these years, and maybe it's this year, that they're going to finally, you know, hit it out of the park. Ellie, careful. Ellie.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I agree with you on that. The Toronto's doing very well. They've got all kinds of talent. I don't know what it is that they have that they're not doing better as they should be.
Well, they're going to have to get rid of one of those guys, right?
One of them's got to go.
I mean, we've been saying for a long time it's got to be either Nylander or Marner. I would think probably a trade, maybe even just to get someone on D and maybe or get a couple picks or something because the amount of money they have, they're so top heavy. And they're still top heavy on offense. I don't know how they're not. They haven't made a move like that yet. I don't know what they're doing.
If you were to trade one of their big guns, who would it be, Jason?
I would probably go with Nylander.
What about you, Jay?
I think if I were Mitch Marner, I'd ask for the trade. I think they should trade Nylander, but Marner, I think Marner could be better served on a team like the Rangers, Colorado. I think he could do very well with the Blues. He'd have a lot more room and he'd have a lot more ice time that would be non All-Star focused. And that's the problem, is that he's a second fiddle to Matthews. And so everything is about Austin Matthews, which I understand it should be, but I think Marner's just as good. And I think that, you know, even getting Marner over to, like, could you imagine if the Edmonton could pull that down? And I think they could.
I was just saying Edmonton, but they can't. I mean, right now they're hurting on defense. I think Darnell Nurse is, I don't know how long he's out for.
Yeah, they need D.
But they need defense if they're going to really go the distance. And that's and he's a guy, I think that he's one of those pieces that without Nurse in the lineup, I don't know how they actually go anywhere in the playoffs. He's that important to the team. So, you know, yeah, I who do you think, Emerson? What are your thoughts on all this?
I think Florida. I think the situation probably with Quenneville, it's not like anything drastic as far as their play went down after that whole situation. I think maybe they got them closer. And God, they're just doing so well; they can't lose.
They're killing it.
And Jumbo, you know, if anything, it's for Jumbo. I think if Joe Thornton can get a cup, this is the year. And it almost seems like it's too good to be true. Him going there, as well as they're playing right now, they got everything. They got goaltending, solid D. They could score. I think they got it all. And it's sure showing early on. And, hell, just for the sake of Joe getting the stars aligning for that reason, I'm picking Florida.
It would be ironic if he wins a cup in Florida, where he's been and, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Florida has not – they have not won a cup. Is that correct?
No, they haven't.
They made it to the finals.
In 96
after beating Pittsburgh in the third round, and they lost the cup. But now, they've got incredible players and they're playing very well. I mean, there's a lot to like about Florida right now. And like I said, we just had Randy Muller on, who's their color commentator for the Panthers. And he had all kinds of great stuff to say about what was going on there. They're excited. And obviously that gets fans back to that, you know, very difficult to get to Sunrise Florida Stadium.
Are they doing well on attendance there? Is it picking up?
They are.
They're 26th in the league right now. They're averaging about 13,000 fans a game.
It's better. It's better than it's probably ever been.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I went to a game with my brother one time. The Blue Jackets were playing, and I said, "Hey, you know, let's go see the Jackets." And literally, I went on StubHub or whatever. It's one of the ticket. You know, no financial interest, and they are not sponsoring us. And I think we bought tickets on the glass for $65 each.
Can't go wrong with that.
there probably was 6,000-7,000 people in the whole arena. It was really sad. They covered all the seats in the upper decks, and they basically, you know, pushed everybody down as much as they could into the bowl, but there's just nobody there. And now, watching them the other night, and they were kicking the crap out of some team, they've had a lot of people in the stands, and they dominated. They look good. I mean, they got that Sam Bennett, Barkov's out.
Really, still, I mean, who would have thought that he, after Calgary years of just struggle, him just, you know, I mean, and it was instantaneous, right? When he got to Florida, it was a new player.
It turned around.
Yeah, but it goes to show though, sometimes literally just a change of scenery brings out the best. I mean, Vrana, when he came to Detroit before his shoulder injury, you know, he started playing really well because he got out of the shadow of a lot of the guys who were ahead of him on the Caps. And it makes a difference when you can. So I think, to Jay's point before, you know, Marner goes somewhere else, maybe like even a Vancouver or something like that, and he becomes the man. And, you know, you see a different, even Vegas might use him. I mean, with everything with Pacioretty issues and everything else going on over there, I mean, Vegas might be a great destination for him. I mean, there's, you know, so who knows? We'll see if they make a move.
Well, Emerson, what is, you know, are you following the NHL now as a, you know, obviously you're really busy with the Shredders. I mean, this is your, obviously your waking and sleeping, you know, life, passion and job. What about, like, do you follow what's going on? Do you follow the players? Do you, are there people you still talk to all the time?
I really don't. I keep in touch with Matt Nieto. You know, we met up a lot this summer. He actually helped me with my summer camp, you know, with the Shredders. We took these players bowling, which was fantastic. Just a down-to-earth guy who's always looking to support any way he can. You know, his Sharks are doing damn well. He's continuing to play a solid two-way game. He's not getting rewarded much, but, you know, he's a guy that is just so reliable. He's got speed for days. And like I try to hound my players on, he's a guy with away from the puck. He makes an impact on the game. And anywhere he goes, whether it was San Jose the first time, Colorado, or back to San Jose now, he's making an impact. And it's surely showing with that whole team and their turnaround.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Sharks have some – I keep thinking Tomas Hertl should find his way to some other squad too. But, you know, he seems like he's burning away some prime years with the team that just hasn't pulled it together. I mean, they had a couple of chances, but I don't know where they are now. And that guy has got – he's got talent coming out of his ears.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Well, you know, we enjoyed – you know, obviously we're having a lot of fun doing our podcast, especially now that we're back in season. Like it was an odd thing to not be able to go to the games, you know, with the pandemic. Yeah. So getting back to the games is awesome. For my Dr. Calvert, my J. Calvert MD professional corporation holiday party, we're actually going to the Kings game. So that was by request of my staff. They said, we want to go to the hockey game again. And so we're taking everybody, you know, to a suite and everything, and it should be really fun. Yeah, it's good. It's good to be able to get back to do that. But we got to get down and see the Shredders play. We're really glad that you could take some time to tell us about it. Can you just kind of run through where our listeners can find, you know, because a lot of our people are in Orange County and they're in the, you know, sort of the Ducks vein. So can you run through where they can get all the info for, you know, getting to a game at the rinks and all that?
So first and foremost, check out our website, www.longbeachshredders.com. We're across the board on all social media platforms by the handle at Shredders USPHL. That's at Shredders USPHL. Our big one's Instagram. We try to get some laughs in, some kookiness, just overall fun, mixing kind of the surf culture with hockey. It's been a blast so far. It's really allowed us to think outside the box, try different things. It's not this just cliche, oh, you know, I don't know, you know, what these team names are coming out with now. But I wanted to go the route of some of these Midwest minor league baseball teams, you know, these outrageous names. And not that a Shredder's, you know, too out there, but it's definitely not cliche. It's something different. The colors are really warm. Any of our apparel are like you see.
No, got it on. I'm digging it.
Right now, I mean, full of colors, very inviting. I think everyone here in Long Beach and the Lakewood area has gravitated to it. And at the end of the day, it's a cheap entertainment. You know, we don't have any rapid testing, no proof of vaccination. You know, so for anyone having trouble with wrapping their heads around that, you know, we're not touching that stuff. Just cheap entertainment, really. It's $11 for adults, $6 for kids. And yeah, no, it's a good time. We have intermission games, good music, and the quality of play is pretty damn good. I mean, it's fast paced. Sure, it's not tier 2, tier 1 juniors, but you know, if you're just looking to have a you know, something different on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, you know, you really can't beat it for the price. You don't break the bank. You can take the family out. Good food. You know, we have $3 12-ounce Coors beer on tap each and every game. Can't go wrong with that. And yeah, no, we make it fun. We just introduced our mascot. It's on our social media. So things are just continuing to get better and better. It's been a little bit of a struggle with COVID, trying to get into schools, hospitals. Actually, just setting up our first school session next week, getting into a PE class. Some of the players playing some street hockey there. So we're finally tapping into that. it's just going to keep growing. So it's been fun so far.
But how are the nachos?
I actually haven't tapped into any of the Snack Shack. I just can't because the floodgates would open.
Because I got to have my cheese, and I got to have my cheese ending with a Z, not an S-E. So.
Hey, say less, Jason. Get on down here. Enjoy a game. Once again, you're not going to break the bank.
Of course.
We really have something for everyone. So it's been fun.
No, sounds great for sure.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we're excited that you're back in the California sunny part of the world, and you don't have to go through another Missoula winter.
No, I don't. No problem. What's going on?
That is rough. But you know, I'm sure it'll keep getting better and better, and that's why we're definitely standing behind the Shredders. The podcast will continue to sponsor the team. And when's the next game? When should I put it on the calendar?
Eagle Sabres, and I think actually the game's going to be pushed back to 8 p.m. We're doing a Christmas theme game. We got Santa Claus, so December. It's Saturday, 8 p.m. Saturday. And we're going to pull out all the stops. The place is going to be packed. We actually have a parent of one of the players networking, and I think the tickets are going to be a little bit cheaper, and it's just going to be lights out. So, Saturday, December 3rd, against San Diego Sabres here at the Rinks Lakewood Ice. You just get your tickets at the front gate. If it's an 8 o'clock game, show up at roughly around 7 if you can. Get a nice seat, grab some nachos. Grab your $3 12-ounce banquet beer and just have a good time.
The banquet beer, of course, from popularized by Cobra Kai and one of the former Dr. Hockey guests, Ralph Macchio.
Brett Ernst.
And Brett Ernst also from Cobra Kai. But December 3rd is a Friday, I think, because the 1st is a Wednesday, and I know I have an L.A. society, so it's got to be – it's either is it Friday or Saturday night?
It could be I turned my phone off. I thought the phone going off was mine, so I turned here. That's
December 3rd is a Friday night.
Yeah, so it's Friday night. My apologies.
All right, my daughter's chiming in that it's a Friday night. But the game is on December 3rd, which is a Friday night then.
So it's a Friday night. That game should be pushed back to 8 o'clock. It's not confirmed yet, but it should, just to allow people getting off work. That's right, because the main reason why we – push it back. We wanted to allow people to get off work and get there and see the full game. So Friday, December 3rd, 8 p.m. The tickets, not confirmed yet, but tickets will be, $6 across the board. So it's going to be a good time.
And they can get them on the website, right?
No, you just show up at the front gate. All tickets, merchandise are sold right here at the Rinks Lakewood Ice.
Great.
Yeah, easy peasy.
Well, I should be able to get to that one. That one's pretty straightforward. Friday night should be doable. I'll put Ace in the car with me, and we'll come on up and check it all out. That'll be good.
Fantastic.
All right, Emerson. Well, thanks a lot for coming on. We really appreciate it. It's great to catch up. It's great to hear about the Shredders. We'll see how this rest of the year goes with the NHL. I think it's going to be a fun year. At least it's good to be back in the stadiums for sure. And that's good for hockey and good for everybody. Jason.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Jason, you have any other comments for Emerson?
No, I'm just really happy for you. I'm glad to have you back here and excited for this part of this chapter of your life with this. This is a really great thing. And you're a friend, and we always like to see our friends do well. So that's the most important thing.
I really appreciate it, guys. And last thing, I'm below 500. It's the first time besides the first weekend, so we went 2-1 our first weekend in a three-game stretch. But ever since then, I've been below 500, about two games. It's the worst feeling ever, just being below 500, just that being the standard. I got my work cut out for me here, fellas, and our best hockey is yet to come. So please get out and support your Shredders. Come out to a game. Thanks for having me again, guys.
You bet.
Awesome.
You bet. All right. Well, this is the Dr. Hockey Podcast, signing off with your prescription for the NHL and the Shredders.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.